speaking of, with COVID going on, can you talk specifically about some of the online resources that you use to connect with growers and help them with a pest management plan?
Yeah, so kind of taking you, we'll take you through the year a little bit, but each winter I update what we call the Michigan Chestnut Management Guide. And that is a guide that covers everything from nutrition management or nutrient management planning to pest management. We update all the registrations, and it's kind of a quick reference for growers as they're maybe looking for materials or information. And so that will come out usually in late winter is what we shoot for that. And that's partially because of when the registrations are confirmed for each year, because the state also has to confirm them. So we get that updated and out to growers. We typically have had in-person programming, but this year, of course, we had to switch to online program. And so programming, and actually I really liked the format. We had a lot of people register. I think we're at almost 200 people, which is way more than we would have for an in-person program. But of course, we were able to draw in participants from around the Northeast, even a few outside of the U.S. to participate. And what we did was a series, a monthly series. And so we started back in April and we ran all the way through October. And we had researchers come on and give research updates because we missed out on that opportunity in March. And then also a timely update. So what's going on in the field? What are we seeing? What are the pest issues? You know, are growers putting their weed sprays on? Those types of things. And so I think it was more accessible for a lot of our growers and, you know, allowing us to break it down into hour and a half sessions instead of like a day and a half of sessions, I think was really helpful for growers. We also have our webpage, which is kind of our clearinghouse for all the resources that we have, which is chestnutsu.edu. That's really where you can find all the scouting reports as they come out, any articles related to chestnut production. And it also has information about, you know, orchard design. There's an introductory pre-recorded video you can watch, just kind of a what's up with chestnuts type of thing, or should I be growing them, can I grow them type of presentation. And so we try to keep that very updated for growers. And then lastly, you can follow us on social media. So we have Michigan State University Chestnut News. And some of that is repetitive of what comes out in the articles and things, but it just allows me to very quickly give growers a heads up. If I, you know, get a report from the field, or if I see something in the field I want them to know about, it's just another way for us to stay in contact. And so those are kind of our primary methods, our primary approach to, you know, staying connected during this time. And then most of my growers know, but they all have my cell phone number too. So I do quite a bit of talking on the phone and, you know, texting. And, you know, a lot of our growers are pretty experienced these days. So it's often just calling to have an exchange of ideas. It's not even, you know, it's a, what do you think about this type of phone call, and discussing it with them, because certainly they have the lion's share of the knowledge in the room. So.
Absolutely. And I love those conversations and being not even a part of them, or just being an audience. Well, what do you think about this? Then hearing the discussion. Yeah. So I'm just going to repeat the website. It's chestnuts.msu.edu, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Yes. And that's actually, I came across this website and there's some really great videos. For example, the top one today that was published in September is Guidance for Farmers on Pandemic Preparedness, Plans in the CHAMP tool. So I recommend our listeners to check it out, even if, you know, whatever you grow, whatever you're interested in, check out this website. It's wonderful. I've actually also read some of your articles, Erin, which is on your personal page at, you can look up Erin's name, her last name. It's E-R-I-N-L-I-Z-O-T-T-E. On the MSU webpage, and it'll take you directly to her personal page and with her authored articles. And there you can find some really, really great resources on a number of things that we've discussed today, as well as others. So a question I have is, you talked a little bit about these online resources and kind of these online programs. And I, again, that's something I've heard, especially last month when I was talking to an Iowa State Extension officer, is she was saying that you know, COVID really, really affected the way that she manages her education outreach. But in some ways, it's actually been kind of nice to kind of be forced out of the nest and to utilize some online programs or to utilize technology in different ways. So, you know, you're mm-hmm. through Michigan State and through Michigan as specifically as a state, but you talked a little bit about a wider audience. Who can access these resources?
Mm-hmm. So anyone can access these resources. We do get, you know, international users as well. So if you're listening today and you go to that site, it's always important to keep in mind that it is written with the viewer in mind, particularly when it comes to pesticide regulations. But for most of us in the Northeast, except for New York or West Coast, California, Hawaii, there's some major discrepancies in pesticide regulation between those states and us. You always want to double check it. But for the most part, in the Midwest, we're going to have the same regulations and the same registrations for pesticides. So just to keep in mind that there's huge differences even between what we do in Michigan and the chestnut industry in Ohio versus when you get down into Appalachia. So they're, you know, just the species we're growing, first of all, the climate conditions, the pest range is different. And so it's important to, you know, keep those things in mind. So we make it available to everybody, but I'd say perhaps it's most useful for those who are living in Michigan or the surrounding states.
Fantastic. Yes, absolutely. You want to check to make sure that you're following regulations for your state or your country. They're, you know, it's very different. I'm speaking from Ohio, so from Northern Ohio. I'm in Cleveland, so I can definitely understand. And I know Michigan and Ohio, there are some differences in regulations. So again, please make sure that you're following your state's, your county's, your country's regulations. Yes, very good. Yes, so what advice can you give? I mean, Michigan State has a wonderful kind of handle on pest management education and outreach. What advice could you give to our audience about how they might educate themselves in pest management plans and educate themselves and maybe other growers in their community?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd encourage you wherever you are to take advantage of your extension service. So, you know, many of our agricultural states, if you want to think of it that, states with a lot of agriculture, have extension services in one form or another, or university outreach at a minimum for their land grant universities. So, you know, I think it's a benefit to start as local as you can get for some of those reasons we just listed. I certainly take calls from other states, but it's always couched with, well, this is kind of what we think in Michigan, but it, you know, might not be applicable. So just encouraging them to start, if they have a local county office, start right there and work your way up to the first person who's closest to you who can discuss that topic with you. I will say we do communicate quite a bit between universities on resources, and I'd include OMAFR with that, the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture. We really work collaboratively to try to provide coverage for the plethora of specialty crops, including in nuts. So oftentimes I work quite closely with Todd Ludi out of OMAFR. I think I sent quite a few hazelnut growers his way, and I believe he's sending some chestnut growers my way. And that's just because that's where our kind of specializations lie. So, you know, oftentimes just reaching out to that extension person who's closest to you, they're going to be able to direct you to the person who's going to best fit your situation. I think it's important if you're looking online to be really cognizant of the source of the information. You know, there's a lot of sites out there that will talk about, you know, soapy dishwater for pest control. That's, you know, not really something that we recommend because of crop issues. It's also not a registered pesticide, so it's technically an illegal application for growers. So just thinking about that you're getting this from a university source or a government website, that information's been closely vetted. That's especially if you're entering into these crops as a new producer, I think it can feel overwhelming. And so one of the quick ways to cut down on all the noise is to just work with those university or government websites that you know have been vetted and are based on research.
great advice. And, you know, if you are an avid listener to this podcast, that should be old news, which is good. It's repeated news. We've talked with a number of extension agencies through different states, and they all say the same thing. They all recommend that. And of course, I recommend that. And as someone that is part of a national organization, please use your extension office. Please use your local university. And the Northern Nut Growers can be a good link for you to help find those local resources. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us so we can help you connect with a local resource, because that's really important. And that's what's kind of something I've learned through this job, is it's really hard to think about all these kind of different, you think on it from a micro and a macro stance, to like we're from the national standpoint. And for me, it's really easy to get stuck on the big picture stuff. But really, from a grower standpoint, it's incredibly important from the micro level to connect with the local. And so I think that these extension agencies are as important as ever to help connect with that local connection. And it's interesting that you did mention Ontario. We have a strong connection with SONG, which is Southern Ontario Nut Growers. And in fact, we had a meeting not too long ago up in Ontario for our nut growers. So actually, I'm just so excited to talk with you. I know Dennis left a good, really big legacy with Michigan State, and I'm glad to reconnect with you and get a reconnection with Michigan to help build strong relationships for Northern Nut Growers and for growers across the world. So I thank you for that. And actually, I think we can go ahead and finish up unless there's something else you would like to discuss.
I don't think so. I think if you got what you need, that sounds great to me, and I appreciate it. Yeah, I think anything we can do to build these connections, I mean, with limited resources, it makes sense to pool our efforts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big believer in increasing those connections and working across state and country lines to just get done what the growers need done. So that's
exactly.
Our goal.
Yeah, exactly. And our mission statement is to help growers specifically with research and cultivar naming. Our purpose, it says, the purpose of the association shall be to promote interest in temperate zone nut trees, scientific research in their breeding and culture, standardization of cultivar names, the dissemination of information concerning the above, and such other activities that may advance the culture of nut-bearing plants, particularly in the North Temperate Zone. So our job is to help connect these resources to these growers so that we can help them promote these interests and to create scientific research and to create better breeding habits and standardizations. And so we can't do that on our own. We have to have connections, and we have to be friendly, and we have to reach out to these resources and to the people that do the hard work like you do with pest management. And so it's my job to get to talk to y'all, which is great. I can't believe I get paid to do it. And so I'm grateful every day to meet people like you, Aaron, that are clearly passionate about what you do and love helping the grower. So thank you very much for doing what you do.
Oh yeah, thank you. The feeling's mutual. We wouldn't have anything to do if we didn't have the growers and the passion on the industry side of it too.
Yes.
So it's a partnership for sure.
Absolutely. And that the passion is strong, and I you know, it's just so wonderful to talk with growers who love what they do and continue that. Because, you know, nut growing specifically isn't a hobby that you can have a fleeting passion for. You kind of got to stick with it for a while. Exactly. All right, Aaron, I will let you get on with your day. Thank you so much for meeting with me. Again, you can see Aaron on, if you check out her webpage on the msu.edu page, you can see the article she's written, as well as some other wonderful videos through the chestnut.msu.edu website. Please feel free to contact Northern Nut Growers if you have any other questions or concerns.